motion, the second motion that we read this week, is a litany of holiness. Hashem, right, put his Shechina in the Mikdash, and they would, right, Klal Yisrael would therefore be living with Shechina, and therefore it was incumbent upon the nation to stay as spiritually high level as possible and avoid what Rabbi Sherman calls spiritual contaminations. And he says, the Sedra begins explaining the reason why you're going to give you a litany of rules. Because in order to be a holy nation, Hashem said, Kedoshim tihi you, you shall be holy, ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. Why? Because I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, am holy, and I'm in your midst. The holiness is to elevate our lives in this world. And it requires, if at least it says here, a realization that the Aseres HaDibros were the first things we heard, but there's a minimum. And there's many more. And we know Taryag is 613. And a Jewish individual is required to climb up the ladder of Kedusha and to continually elevate what we believe mitzvos are. Then the Torah turns to about respecting parents, right? That we've got to be treated them respectfully. It talks about Shabbos, the seventh day of the week, and would also mean Shemitah. All these things testify that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Borei Olam, the Creator, right? And the Master, as the Rambam says, the first Animamim, Hu Borei Umanhig, He created and He controlled. Kol HaMasim, anything that occurs on earth is all governed by what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. We're told that this was given to Kol Adas B'nei Yisroel, this speech, because it was important that everyone realize we are not what we call Catholics, that there's one rule for the clergy, which they don't keep anyway, and one for the average or for the non-leading Jew. There's one Torah. And whereas we cannot, any one of us, complete all 613 mitzvahs, we need the entire nation properly so that all of Torah's mitzvahs are in fact complied with. Nonetheless, there's an individual responsibility in each case. I heard an interesting quote yesterday that from Rabbi Goldberg. He said that the Medrash Tanchuma tells the following story. A human being was walking in the forest or near the forest, and he saw two birds getting into a fight. And one bird took his beak and punctured the neck of the other one, killing him. You know, he figured, animal kingdom, survival of the fittest. Then he saw that this bird flew down to a lower level, picked up a leaf, put the leaf in its mouth, its beak, took the leaf, touched the dead bird, And all of a sudden, he had Tchiyas Amesim. The bird came back to life. This individual saw the two birds fly away happily, leave the leaves behind. And he said to himself, I now have a leaf that can be used to mechaye mesim. How am I going to use this? And then he said, well, you know, I'm a bit skeptical. Will it work or will it not work? And so as he traveled, he saw a dead lion on the side. He put the leaf on the lion. The lion came to life, and the lion quickly devoured him, and he was gone. And the Medrash Tanchuma says, this fable is to indicate that in this world there are tremendous, tremendous hidden secrets, and that, in fact, this type of herb or leaf or whatever does exist. The key to life is that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu allows us the power to use something that hasn't been there before, we have the responsibility to use it properly. And if we use it properly, it will be the great thing Hashem intended. Or on the other hand, it could be the demise of anyone. Okay. Get something. Okay. Rabbi Franz goes to the pasuk, Ushmartem es chukoisai v'es mushpatai asher yase oisam ha'adam v'chai bohem ani Hashem. You're required to keep my decrees and my laws. We know chukim are things that we do not necessarily understand, or only few do. And mishpatim are like the rules, the civil laws, etc. And you do this so that a person can live by them. I am Hashem. And my friend points out that the Torah only requires martyrdom in the case of the three, the big three of Eros, the cardinal sins, idolatry, right? Illicit relations, being forced to do that, or be you're told, you kill A or I'll kill you. Otherwise, any mitzvah of the Torah is pushed aside for pikuach nefesh, to save a life. And they derive this, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, 74a, that we're required to live by mitzvahs. Mitzvahs are here as a roadmap to life. We don't want mitzvahs to be kept where it leads to, God forbid, a sakana. We know that if we, on Shabbos, if God forbid, we need to, we call Hatzalah. And the Hatzalah operators are required on Shabbos to walk around with walkie-talkies and other such devices. We know that in Eretz Yisroel, people are required and are asked to bring their guns to shuls. And I think in America, too, there are people who are asked to secretly carry on Shabbos because we've got to protect ourselves. And as he says, if you've got to eat chametz on Pesach to survive, you obviously do so. If all you can eat to avoid dying is shrotzim, a dead lizard, you do it. Right? And I remember hearing one of those stories from the Holocaust about a Rebbe who was all he had on Pesach was a piece of bread, and he made the bracha. I want to make a bracha, Kadosh Baruch Hu, that I am eating bread on Pesach when I'm not allowed to, in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of the chai bohem, that I'm going to live. I think it was probably a time of great disease, and any attempt to fast would have been potentially, put his life in danger. He said, there's a general misconception about this pasuk. He says, if we take a cursory look at it, the Talmud seems to be saying that life is on a higher level than doing mitzvahs. And he says, what does this really mean? How do we understand, he says, that a life is so precious when it might even be devoid of mitzvot because you keep living? What makes, he says, living so precious? Is it sunrise that we should appreciate it? He says, I don't think it's what they used to say, right? Chock full of nuts is a heavenly coffee. Unkelus says, V'chai Bohem, is he will live forever in Olam Haba. And he says, Rashi talks about this pshat as well, because he says, no matter what one does, to enhance, to keep living, we all know in this world there's a gezeira that life ends. Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Igros Moshe says something totally different. He says the most precious thing in life is mitzvos, because we live by mitzvos, and that is what brings us to the Olam Emes, the world to come, to everlasting existence. Therefore, in the case of danger, it's better to violate a Isser in the Torah if we are going to be able to survive to do more mitzvot in the years and time to come. The Gemara in Yuma says, we're being told, desecrate Shabbos once to save the person so that he will be zoiche to live and be shomer Shabbos many more times. Mitzvahs are the stuff of life, Rav Moshe Feinstein says. The Gera Rebbe has what he calls the Hasidish Pshat. He says, what does it mean, v'chai bohem? We have to live by them. He says, when you walk into a yeshiva, right, and you see people who are serious about learning, sometimes they're asked, what is your chiyus? Which means, what is that thing that refreshes you, gives you life? What is it that, gives you that pep? The question touches, he says, on a very profound issue. What, he says, is the spark of life we all need? We need an infusion of enthusiasm. We need our days brightened. And we need the incentive, he says, oftentimes, to get out of bed, to go and do some things we truly want to. He says, for people that are devoted to Torah, the notion and the expectation and the desire to go and learn more, to learn something else, to get more of Torah Hashem, that's their chiyus. Other people wake up because they feel their mission in this world is Gemilas Chasadim. They become basically a living embodiment of the Chesed organization they work for. They can't wait to go out and do another mitzvah. The Hatzalah people, the Misaskim people, the Chaverim people, and many, many others. The Bikur Cholim women who run to the hospitals all the time. And he says, I've been zoche to meet people who their greatest joy in life is kiruv work. Teaching people who don't have as much knowledge as they do to teach them about Torah. They're not trying to convert them. They're trying to say, can I give you a piece of knowledge that may be useful for you? The Ger Rebbe is saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Klal Yisroel, I want the Torah, the vast number of mitzvot in the Torah, to give you chiyus. I want you to pick, so to speak, your mitzvah, the thing that really excites you. I want that to be the stimulus, maybe the raison d'etre, for your continuing to be here in the material world. Rabbi Friend says, we're always told that before one turns around, right, life on this world is over. The number of years the individual spends in this world are a fraction of eternity. Our existence is eternal. Our neshama is eternal. He says, in that vein, one, I guess, at some stage in the Olam HaEmes says, you know, when I was an embodied person, it's like a dream. You know, it's like I went to Wonderland and it's gone. But we know that when we look back and we see those mitzvos that we were truly moser nefesh for, those mitzvos we made part of our individuality and went, they will be a beacon. Then you won't have to say it faded so quickly. You can say, I accomplished. I did something the Rabbona Shel Olam wanted when I was there. Only those mitzvahs will give us everlasting appreciation. And he says, the Ger Rebbe is saying, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from Klal Yisroel. V'chai bohem, I've given you enough opportunities to really have a meaningful life by being involved in mitzvos. My friend knows many people and he speaks to them. And he's often said that he's spoken to people who have accumulated great amounts of wealth, and they tell him, you know what? I did this day and night. I killed myself for this attainment of wealth, honor, etc. And in retrospect, I don't think it was really a great investment in what I did. He says, I meet others who had the same opportunity, and they say to me, I'm blessed. Look at my mishpacha. I was able to have an effect on my kids, on my siblings, on others. I was able to be a good friend to a lot of people in the Jewish community. I was able to shoulder some responsibility for the well-being of Klal Yisroel. And he says, those are the things that when we look back, we are generally most appreciative for. He says, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. I'm giving you the mitzvot of Kedoshim Tiyu to make your lives holy by getting tremendously involved in these aspects of life, and we could say v'chai bohem, that's going to let us live in Olam Haba as well.
Yeah? Thank you.
In the laning this week, we have the mitzvah, Rabbi Akiva, v'yahavta l'reyecha kamoicha. Right? Rabbi Akiva said, v'yahavta l'reyecha kamoicha, you have to love your neighbor as yourself. That klal gadol b'torah, that's a fundamental principle of Torah. This is one of the pillars that the entire world stands upon. And he said, Hillel said the same thing. We're told that a prospective convert, someone who was thinking about becoming a Jew, came to Shammai and he said, teach me the Torah al regel achad. Teach me the Torah ASAP. And Shammai, you know, he didn't have the time. You know, he said, it's not possible. He came to Hillel, and Hillel said, okay, I can do this. He says, do not do to others that which is hateful to you. That's all the Torah is about. Everything else is just interpretation of that rule. Now you can be a Yid. Rabbi Akiva was talking about the centrality of this mitzvah. He was one of the greatest, right? Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are these markings on the top of the letters in the Sefer Torah as he was getting it in Sinai? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, oh, Rabbi Akiva's going to come and dairish it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Moshe said, so why don't you give him the Torah? He probably knows more than me. And then they say, he heard, I guess he was shown a picture of Rabbi Akiva giving a shir, and they said, where'd you get that from? And he said, Haloicha mi Moshe mi Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu sent it to me. But Rabbi Akiva was this amazing human being. And he gave us, right, this great lesson. We know we're in the Omer now when we talk about the fact that he lost all his Talmidim for one reason or another. Right? One of the Chazals say they weren't respectful enough of each other. And Rabbi Akiva, after he lost them, what did he do? He didn't go into deep despair. He started over. He took five Talmidim and he started. And that's why we have Torah today. We wouldn't have the Mishneh Gemara. I don't know what we would have without Rabbi Akiva. That's how important, right? He said, Rabbi Fran says, didn't he get demoralized? How? He must have been a broken man. But he says, he didn't do that. He had the most unbelievable of resilience. No matter what he suffered, he always found the silver lining in the dark clouds. He always looked for the positive in every single aspect of life. He never said all is lost. He always said where there's life, there's hope. He lived through the Churban Beis HaMikdash. He saw the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. And we know the famous story that he was with a number of Rabbonim, right? And they saw a fox come out from the Kodshe Kodshim, and they all cried. And Rabbi Akiva laughed. It's at the, right? We learned this at the end of Makos, those who finished Daf Yomi. And he said that, you know why I'm laughing? There were two prophecies, Uriah and Zechariah.
Got it.
Tell me. Uriah said, right, I'm going to have old people and young people learning in Yerushalayim. Right? No, Uriah said the destruction will occur. Zechariah said, we're going to have the rebuilding of Klal Yisroel. And he said, until I saw Uriah's prophecy with my own eyes, I saw a fox leave the Beis HaMikdash, I didn't think Zechariah's prophecy would come through. Now that I see a fox, I know for sure HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, because the power of good is so much greater than the power of punishment. The Baal Shem Tov said, what's pshat, love your neighbor as yourself? He said, when we look at ourselves in the morning, we don't say, ah, that scoundrel got up again. We may know our shortcomings, but we always spring eternal. We always say, we can do better. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says too. He says, you got to look at your neighbor the same way. He had a miserable day yesterday. He slugged you in the teeth. But today, he could become your best friend. And he says, that's the message Rabbi Akiva gave us. That, right? Our job is to look positively at everything. Look at the metaphor? Look at life as the cup that's full, not the deficiencies. And he says, that's what Parshas Kedoshim is trying to teach us.